All right, we are continuing on with great talks at YAL 2011. We're with Aslak.
Hello. Hello, hello everybody.
How do you pronounce your last name?
My last name is pronounced in Norwegian Hellesøy. Hellesøy, it's a small island west of Bergen, where my grandfather lived. So he actually lived on Hellesøy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then that obviously that's why you're named that, or is that just a coincidence?
No, so they moved into Bergen because it was too hard to sell all the fish in Hellesøy, so they moved into Bergen and he became a woodcutter, but they brought the name with them.
Awesome. Now, you are a software engineer. Yes?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. you write code, man. You're a developer.
I've written code for my entire career. Which goes back to 90, started working in 97.
Okay.
So I've been a consultant, actually, most of my career.
Okay.
Working in various consulting companies. And only a year ago, I became an in-house developer. So
interesting.
No longer working for clients. No longer trying to solve other people's problems, but now trying to solve my own company's problems. or making
excellent.
It worse.
So what are you talking about here at YAL? Can you give people an idea of your thoughts?
Yeah, so I'm talking about two things. I have I'm doing a one-day tutorial about a tool called Qcumber, which I created, which is a BDD tool, which is an acceptance testing tool, which is also a communication tool and a collaboration tool and a requirement specification tool, like all kind of rolled into one. Mm. And I'm also giving a one-hour talk about a web server called Webbit, mm-hmm. which a colleague of mine, Joe Walls, wrote, that we use in DRW, which is where we work, which is optimized for WebSockets.
Mm.
And he started it, and I joined the project quite early on, adding support for more modern WebSockets and Event Source, which is kind of like a simpler way to do pushing a lot of data to the browser.
Mm. Can you enlighten us a little bit about what are WebSockets? Why do they matter?
Right. So I think WebSockets. I think WebSockets are now misused quite a lot because it's a new technology. It's an exciting technology. It allows web developers to do things that you couldn't previously do with HTTP, which is to send data to the browser without having to do a poll. So before WebSockets, you would have, let's say that you had a chat application, which is a simple example. Somebody types something, you want that to show up immediately on all the other screens. Now previously, you would have to either poll at regular intervals, which puts a lot of load on the server, or you would have to have some kind of long polling mechanism where you open an HTTP connection and the server never closes it.
Mm.
But all of these solutions didn't work really well. So the W3C, they came up with this extension that allows you to do this in a standardized way, basically.
Okay.
And I'm not quite sure when the first specification came out. I think it's a couple of years ago.
Mm.
And it had two big problems, I think, in the beginning. That one was it wasn't secure. So different browser vendors, they added it to the browsers, they removed it, because added it back again. Another problem was that it didn't really work well through firewalls, proxies.
Okay.
It would just drop the connection. And it seems to have stabilized over the past few months. And that's one of the problems we've had to deal with Webbit, because every time a new major revision of the specification would come out, the browser implementers, they would try to keep up with the changes, and sometimes it would completely break the previous implementation. So we had to, in Webbit, we were now supporting the four different incompatible versions of WebSockets, which is HiB, HICC 75 and 76, and then HiB, I can't even remember.
Sure.
8 and 13, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, Webbit is a Java, so it runs on the JVM.
That's right.
So it's a J2EE, or what is it?
It's It's actually not J2EE.
Okay.
So J2EE is like a lot of enterprise specifications. Now this one actually just uses the native I/O libraries, Java and I/O, which is the Java's asynchronous evented I/O APIs. Now those are kind of hard to work with. The APIs are very difficult to learn. So there's this other library called Netty, which makes it easier to deal with NIO. So WebIt is built on top of Netty, but it doesn't follow the Java EE specification. So even though it is a web server, it is not a service container.
Okay.
So which means that you can't package up a servlet and drop it into WebIt. So it allows you to do HTTP and WebSockets, but not according to the specifications devised by Sun, Oracle, but rather according to the specifications defined by the W3C.
Aha. Okay.
Now, the good thing about that is that it's much easier for us to implement. It's less stuff we need to deal with. We can implement the APIs how we like it.
Yeah, that's good.
So, simpler.
So, you know, take us through. So, why do I use this? How do I use it? I'm a developer and I want to build, like you said, a chat service. Anything there where I want to have the socket connection.
Right. Talk so first of all, I don't think I would use WebSockets to write a chat application. I would probably use Event Source for that.
Okay.
Which is a simpler way to push stuff to the browser. There's basically two standard ways you can push stuff to the browser. Mm-hmm. Well, this Comet, which is the old way, and then now there is Event Source and WebSockets. The main difference is that WebSockets are full duplex, so you can send stuff from the client to the browser, from the browser to the server, and the server can send it back, send stuff back to you. With Event Source, you cannot send anything from the browser to the server. You would have to use a regular HTTP put or post for that.
Okay.
However, Event Source is a lot simpler than WebSockets. So they're easier to implement. You don't really need a web server that supports the complicated WebSocket protocol, as long as you can keep a connection open.
Sure.
So you could probably take a lot of the existing web servers and have them use Event Source. WebSockets, they allow you to do things both ways. So it's for games, for example.
Okay.
It is a good way to quickly communicate stuff between the client and the server without having to establish a new connection. Another place that it makes sense is for if you want to stream a lot of data really fast to the client, for example, financial applications, which is what we do in DIW.
Okay.
So we write software for the traders that work on the desk. So it's all proprietary software. And we're doing the user interface with the browser.
Okay.
But sometimes they want to send a lot of data from the browser to the server. For example, it could just be like changing how they look at the data. They do that sometimes so fast that doing an HTTP put would not be fast enough. For example, they're using the scroll wheel to scroll around.
Sure.
And then we just send a lot of events down the WebSockets, and then they get an updated view back. Almost for them, it feels like it's instantaneous.
Interesting.
So it's only the feel that you can basically build applications that give you the snappiness of a local or like a thick client. Let me just explain how WebSockets work. So the browser issues a GET connection, HTTP GET to the server. With some extra HTTP headers, and there's a little handshake going on. And when they both agree that, hey, this is a WebSocket connection, they keep the same SOC underlying TCP connection open. But from this point on, they are just sending bytes back and forth.
Okay.
Straight. So what you gain is basically you don't have to establish a new TCP connection. It's open. So it's just like
interesting.
Just like sockets, basically. That's why I guess they call it WebSockets. So the gain you get is not having to open a new connection.
Sure.
And it's often establishing the connection that's slow, not actually sending the data.
Okay. So you've built a business around using an evolving standard. What kind of complexity does that add for your world?
Well, that's actually that's a good question. It's one of the reasons why we built Webbit in the first place, because we decided, or the team that I work with, they decided about 18 months ago, right before I joined, that they were going to try and build trading applications using web technology. So they started out with one of the existing web servers that had support for WebSockets. And just as they had started, actually right after I joined, then that's when the WebSocket specifications started becoming very volatile. So Joe decided that, okay, well, we're betting on this technology now, but that means we need more control over the underlying web server, because things are changing, and that means we need to be able to, you know, get it up to date really fast. A new version of Chrome comes out, everything breaks. So we have to. So he started Webbit, and so the complexities are basically the framing of the WebSocket messages and the handshake.
Okay.
So the HTTP headers that go into the handshake, but more that's not so hard to deal with, just changing a few headers. But every message that you send, so I'm a server, I'm going to send you a message of, let's say it's a string. The WebSocket protocol has framing built in, so there is a header before each message that says how long this message is, and so there's a length field, and there's masking, and there is checksum, so there's all of these things. And that's what has changed, and this is done at the byte level. And just making sure that you're covering all the edge cases and implementing the protocol correctly is really hard. You can't really write unit tests for these kind of things. Because even though you get the unit tests passing, you know, they can be green just because you have misinterpreted the specification. So like you made a misinterpretation, everything is green, but you start using it and it doesn't work, right? So the hard thing was we had to basically use a lot of different browsers and just have a little demo application that would send different kinds of messages of different lengths and just manually see if it came back, you know, like set it down, get it back. So that was kind of hard. And then I stumbled upon this great tool called Autobahn, which is German for highway.
Yes.
And that is essentially a functional test suite for people who implement a server that supports the WebSocket specification. And this was actually written, I think the same guy who wrote Autobahn, he works on a Python and Android-based WebSocket server and client. So he decided to write this test suite, and I tried to run it against Webbit. There was one little problem, so I sent him a patch. And then now it's, you know, this allowed us to test our implementation, and we found there's like 200 different test cases. And that allowed us to find a lot of bugs in the implementation, and now I think we're passing all 200 something tests except three or four of them, which we can easily probably fix those, but it's about validating that an invalid UTF-8 string is recognized as an invalid UTF-8 string. It's like, yeah, well, okay. I don't care. We're just going to send valid UTF-8. So
yeah, right on, man. So in terms of the, what are some of the challenges? I mean, since you've been in this industry for a while, and you're coming into the web world, right? You've built a web, essentially a web application for traders. And there's the client side is the browser.
Yeah.
What is it like? And I know that Alan Wurst-Brock has a talk about browser being a transitional technology, and the future is HTML5 and blah, blah, blah. What are your thoughts on this world, this web world that we're living in? In fact, you built a business on...
Well, I didn't build a business.
Well, you're working for a company that has.
I don't know. I think it's really hard to predict where things are going. I've been a big fan of REST and I still am a big fan of REST. And I think, you know, if you're building stuff for the web, you should try and make things RESTful. Mm. Now, WebSockets are not very RESTful, but you know, if that's solving the problem mm-hmm. that you have, then yeah, that can be a good solution. But there's so much stuff going on, you know, things are definitely going towards the web, you know, mm. less and less thick application. You see all of these rich client standards, you know, one of them after the other falling over, you know, like Flash, Silverlight, mm. JavaFX, which was basically stillborn. So it's definitely going towards the web, but, you know, a lot of people are complaining about JavaScript. JavaScript is such an ugly language. Mm. So, I mean, I like JavaScript. Yeah. I know how JavaScript works.
Yeah.
It has its quirks. And can definitely be improved. But mm. And I think if somebody might replace JavaScript, somebody might not. I don't know.
Yeah.
It has such a big mind share. It's so hard to replace something that's so ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm.
So for the time being, you know, we all the JavaScript stuff that we write is JavaScript.
Sure.
All of the server-side stuff that we write, well, that's a lot of different things.
Mm.
Not only Java, you know, it's C++, C#, you know, you name it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Not my team, but other teams in the same company.
Sure.
So use a lot of different technologies. Whatever works for that team and that particular problem.
Yeah.
So I don't know where the world is heading. I have no idea. You know, I think it's interesting when people try and predict.
Yeah.
But
we are where we are. Yeah, it's interesting. Now with WebSockets, I mean, you know, are you locked into? So on the server, does the WebSocket API support C++? Are there abstractions for C++ and C# and other technology that run the server, like, you know, whatever happens to be running on the server?
Well, so WebSockets, you know, they are not tied to any particular language. So the question is mm-hmm. rather, you know, is there an implementation for my language?
Exactly.
Do
we see those? Do you see that happening?
It's. I haven't really, you know, I've only looked. The ones that I know about is Node.js, which is, you know, JavaScript on the server, has pretty good WebSocket support. They're actually lagging behind WebIt in a little while. But, you know, they've caught up. The problem in the Node world is that it's a lot of competing implementations, and I think they're like converging towards one or two that are pretty solid.
Okay.
I know that, you know, for .NET, there's WebSocket implementations. Mm-hmm. Don't know about C and C++. I'm sure there must be some. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it depends on how mature they are. Depends on how many people develop web stuff with that particular language. C++, not a lot of people write web apps in C++.
No.
So there's not going to be a good implementation of WebSockets for C++. Unless some crazy team decides, hey, we're going to build our web app in C++, and we're going to use WebSockets, then maybe they will write.
ATL, the revival of ATL server. Dun, dun, dun. What do you think of this conference, by the way?
I think it's a great conference. The breadth of all the talks are great. The Australian community is great. Met so many smart people, and it's really great being here.
Excellent, man. Well, right. We'll see you again.
All right. Thanks, Charles.
Yep. Cheers. Bye.